Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time, leading up to the third and final season premiering on June 27th. Today, we are talking about season one, episode number five, titled Truths. And my name is Zach Brooks. I am joined by the Mickle to my Michael, Aaron Brooks. Aaron, how's it going today?
Hey, good. I'm not sure if we've used Mikko before, but I don't think we've used him in that way, at least.
Not in that way. No, you are the...
Well, we're going to run out real quick of people to do this with.
No. Everything is connected as we're learning. Everything.
Yeah. I'm good, though. Yeah. Great episode. A lot to talk about.
Ton to unpack. So the headline, if you've just watched the episode or if you're just listening along and you're not sure exactly what happened in this episode, Mickle is Michael, Michael is Mickle, Finkel is Einhorn. So... we have found out your phone is celebrating the what we have just learned. We have found out the truth about Mickle and Michael, that Jonas's father, Michael, all along was Mickle Nielsen. He went back in time into the 80s and he lived there for 30 years. The biggest reveal of season one, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely so far. There's a few more that come, but I guess that probably would be the biggest, but they all are connected. So it's really unfair to say one reveal is necessarily the biggest.
Yeah. I just think this is the one that is like, when people are watching Dark, this is the like, holy crap moment. You've been watching it. You had no idea. They drop hints, as we've mentioned. You start seeing it, but you do not fully realize it until, I don't know if it's until you hear the letter or until you see Enos with the book, putting it on Michael's grave. And makes you want to go back and rewatch the first five episodes again, I would imagine.
Yeah. There's another twist that comes later that I think may be my biggest, but
is that Jonas is the stranger?
That has to do with love.
With love. Oh, interesting. But it's not in this episode.
I'll say that much. I want to remind, not in this episode. Okay. Definitely. This is definitely the biggest reveal of this episode and so far in the season.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, interesting. We'll be curious to see what the bigger reveal is. I just feel like this is like when you talk to people about Dark who have watched it. This is the like, oh yeah, that's the show where the kid goes back and he becomes the father.
There's one that for me, I think I look to. So I'll stand by. I'll point it out when we come to it, though. I want to keep a little bit of a secret.
Keep some suspense. All right, good. This one, what we've been doing is we've been tackling these episodes to break them down by family. I think you mentioned before that might not work for very much longer. I would say this is probably the episode where it stops working, because this is the first episode where we're seeing two different timelines. So we're seeing the 80s and the present timeline. So I think it probably makes sense to do each timeline individually, and then maybe within the timelines, we could probably still stick to the family somewhat. Or would you rather go through the characters and kind of jump back and forth between times?
I think we can kind of go with the times. I think that makes a lot of sense here. And when it makes sense, we'll jump.
Okay.
So, but I think going with the times works.
All right. Well, we open this episode with split screen. We end the episode with split screen also, where we see the characters and their 80s counterpart. We also see, people and, we see Jonas split screen with Martha. Do you want to start in the 80s or do you want to start in the present?
Let's start in the 80s.
Let's start. Yeah, I think that makes sense. All right. So let's go to the 80s. I did actually have one big observation, but I think, let's just start with that because before we go to the 80s, let's start with my big observation. So, of course we love the intro on the show. And as I was watching the intro, and I know the last episode that we just recorded yesterday, we talked a lot about mirroring and twins and symmetry. And I never really, maybe I put it together before, but it really hit me that the intro is like completely mirrored. Everything is symmetrical, split across the vertical axis in the center of the screen for the intro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely noticed that. I've just not figured out what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like they talked a lot about mirroring, right? And doubles in the last episode. And then I started thinking about mirroring. And I also thought about that... the Nielsen children, all their names start with M. So we have Mickle, we have Martha, and we have Magnus. All start with M. Of course, if you turn the letter M, you would get the number 3. And we've talked a lot about threes in this show. So I was thinking about that. And then I was also thinking about reflecting, right? If you reflect an M on itself, you get an infinity sign, essentially. You get those loops. Mm-hmm. And then, so this is like my brain, this is like the why it took me so long to watch the episode, because I paused and started thinking through this. And I did not even smoke any pot or anything before I did
this. Yeah, I was about to say, it's a good thing you're not on the substances I'm on watching.
Right, yeah. So no, I just started having like these like thoughts about it. So then I started thinking about like letter reflections and palindromes. And then I started thinking about all the names in this show. And they all start with letters that are reflective, that are symmetrical letters. I do think there's a word for symmetrical letters where you can split them down the axis. Like M, if you split it in the center, reflects mm-hmm. on itself. U, mm-hmm. if you split it down the center, it reflects on itself. It's the same. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, the M characters, we got U for Ulrich. Mm-hmm. We've got Katarina. If you split that the other way, if you split that horizontally, that K is reflecting. Bartos, same thing. Elizabeth. Charlotte, like all of these characters, who's Hannah, whose names are their names start with a letter that is reflective.
Francesca.
Francesca, you don't, because F is not does not reflect.
Right.
Jonas, that was the big one that stuck out to me. Jonas does not reflect, and Regina does not reflect, and those are the three main. And Peter. So those were the big main characters that do not start with letters that that you can cut in half. I guess
Waller does.
Winden does. Yep.
Peter.
So I don't know. I don't know if it means, if it's supposed to symbolize, like, obviously Jonas is like a key figure in this, but maybe that's like everybody else is in cycles, but Jonas is the first letter of his name is not a cycle. You know, and maybe that's, you know, you talked about Peter before and how Peter, Peter has a significance, like a biblical significance of his name, as does Jonas. So maybe some of the names are chosen because of that. But
I mean, as does like Saint Christopher, mm-hmm. Another like Christopher with the is another. There's. I almost wish we could get someone who is a religious scholar on one of these episodes, so we can just kind of go through all the names and identities and see.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Sticks out to them.
Maybe if we have some time before the third season drops, we can try to find a person. I don't even know who that would be.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. So I just thought it was interesting. So, you know, do the people who stand out, is there something significant about them? So then I also was thinking about how many H names there are. There's HG, there's Helge, there's Hannah. Of course, the H you can split either way. You mm-hmm. can split that vertically or horizontally, and it reflects on itself. Mm-hmm. Then I was thinking about Hannah. And Hannah's name is a palindrome. So Hannah backwards is Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like next level in terms of reflective. So, you know, Hannah, is she an even more, is she a cycle within a cycle, circle within a circle? You know, we do know that she's going to eventually go back to the 50s and have a relationship with Egon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just something to chew on. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but.
Not at this moment. You just threw this on me. So let me get off the podcast here and smoke on it, and I'll get back to you. But
yes,
it's a good thing only one of us partake in the substance. Otherwise, we wouldn't get through very many episodes.
You and Bartos and Jonas can all split a bong together and play some.
Yeah, some old weed and get mad about video games really fast.
Yes.
As a gamer, no one gets mad about video games within 5 seconds like that. But I get it. It's a show.
Yeah.
Very small nitpick. My mm-hmm. only nitpick of Dark so far.
Yeah.
Video game representation.
I think it's interesting. You're on the three train, so you're all about watching the threes, and I am slowly and very quickly getting on the like twin reflective mirroring palindrome.
Thing. Yeah. And in one universe the M becomes a W, and one universe the M becomes a 3, and one universe the M becomes an E.
Ooh, yes. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So the W for Winden, the E mm-hmm. for Elizabeth. Yeah. The M for all the kids and the yeah. three. Yeah. If you turn a W or an M clockwise, you each quarter of
exactly.
the hour, you get something different. And ooh, that's great.
Maybe Francesca is only, you know, partially.
Francisca. She has a Z in her name. Don't erase the Z out of her name.
Francesca, whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe she's only partially involved. So that's why it's like a partial E of an F.
Yeah, I do think there's something, because it's like, why does Charlotte have two kids, one of which turns out to be her mother, and the other is just a daughter? Like, I feel like there should be something else for Francisca Or maybe she's just like the red stepchild, redhead stepchild. Like that's the term.
Yeah. So. Could, well, you know, we know what they did with the other redhead in Winden.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He got. So.
Lots of red in this episode as well. That was another thing I noticed.
So. Yep.
All right.
Well, let's jump in. Now.
Let's actually that was quite 20 minutes into this theory. Yes.
I like it though.
If you are listening along and you notice any reflectiveness or palindromes or observations about the letters, maybe we were totally off base, but they do say there is a quote, and I did not write down who said the quote. I think it might have been Hannah. She said, "Every little detail is important." Or maybe it was Charlotte. But
everybody
after that quote, I was like, yes, every little detail is important.
Exactly. Like the snails biting off each other's genitals.
Yes.
Look out for that in season 3. That's going to be wild.
They all turn into snails. All right. So we are going to the 80s now. Finally, we're going to start talking about what happened in the episode. I think the big character that we're watching in the 80s is we're watching Mickle. We are watching Hannah. We're watching Mickle's parents. Mickle is in the hospital. He is given that gift by Innes, which turns out to be the book, which plays a role. Books in this show, the books, people keep books for a long time in this show. Whether it's HG's book, it's the I'm Not Afraid book, the Notebook. Lots of books in this show that keep going and kind of mark our place in time. And of course, we've talked about yellow. The gift wrapping paper is very yellow that Innes gives Mickle with that book.
Mm-hmm. It's got like circus and like loops on it.
Oh,
like,
I didn't notice the loops. I thought it looked kind of like the wallpaper once again.
Yeah, no, it just like showed. So it was, I don't think it was anything like really cluing in on it. It was probably more like symbolic, like there's loops involved and it gets crazy. But yeah, it wasn't anything too suspicious there.
Did the stranger have that gift wrapping paper up on his wall with all of his other circle imagery that he likes to look at?
All of his other try hard circle imagery. Yes.
Do you guys get it? Circles, loops.
It's like the heaviest handed part of the show.
It really sticks out. Yeah. It's like, look, we get it, stranger. But I have some thoughts on the stranger after this episode. So we'll get there. All right. So Innes, of course, I don't think Innes doesn't actually adopt Mickle in this episode, but like she's getting close to wanting to keep him because he's going to be going to a group home.
She calls him like very sensitive.
Yes, there is a scene where Innes is talking with like a social worker about him going to a child's home, which is kind of the opposite of the place where Helge ends up in the present timeline. Yeah. Child's home versus the retirement or the nursing home.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. And Innes, I'd never picked up on this before. Innes mentions that she had a child who died shortly after birth.
Oh, yeah. I did notice that.
So we've never gotten anything else about this.
We don't know who this. Yeah.
Yep. Who was the child? Who was the father? I have a theory on who the father was. Do you have any theories on the father?
I mean, I haven't really thought about it. So go ahead.
I think it might be Noah.
That's what I was kind of thinking, but why do you think that?
Well, because she calls Noah to meet with Mickle. To talk to him about kind of where he's from and just to like give him some counseling. So she clearly knows Noah somehow. She gets him. And it's not like Noah is a man of this time because Noah is traveling all over different times.
Yeah.
But we also know that Noah and Elizabeth are going to end up being together. So it would have to have been before he was with Elizabeth. Well, or maybe not. Maybe he cheats on Elizabeth with Innes.
Oh my God. A relationship with cheating involved.
I know. Crazy.
That would be crazy for Winden.
For this show.
Yeah.
I noticed something else in that episode too, or in that scene. It was a scene that I think the first time I watched it, I never even picked up on anything that was mentioned, but we have the baby. We also have a person walk by them with a bandaged eye.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah. It was like very Waller looking.
Hmm.
It's crazy. Cause you watched this episode. So did you watch this episode twice before we talked about it? Is that correct?
Yep.
Like just twice in the last couple of days, plus all the times you've watched it. And there are still like small things that like you didn't pick up or I didn't pick up. It's crazy how much you can watch this show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Endlessly rewatchable for sure.
Yep. All right. So then, yes, as I mentioned, Mickle does meet with Noah and he talks to him. I thought this was very interesting as well. You know, kind of the things they're talking about, religion and creation. Noah says to Mikkel, nothing can arise from nothing, which I kept trying to think about that phrase because it's very confusing. Nothing can arise from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking about the Big Bang and creation.
Yep. Also mentions how when he asked Mikkel about how he, you know, learned his beliefs about how the world came to be, it was from Ulrich, basically, he says.
Yep.
And he says how Ulrich had always said religion brainwashes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like there's a lot of religion brought up, Christianity, Satanism in this show over and over and over again.
Yes, even to the point where, so I was taking notes on my phone, and my phone has like the app on it where it identifies songs as they're playing. And the song that is playing later on in the episode, I believe it's when Martha is doing her monologue in the school play, the title of it has the word devil in it. So even a song they chose has the word devil in it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Noah says God has a plan for everyone. And
did they miss an opportunity to play the Drake song God's Plan in this episode? Taking you out of it.
Yeah, no, I think I'm okay with them leaving Drake out of here.
Yes, this is not Degrassi, the Next Generation. We don't need Drake. I think that was the one he was on. I don't know. He was on a Degrassi. I'm not sure which version. So yes, Noah also says your father knows a lot but doesn't know everything. Have we seen Noah and Ulrich interact yet that you can remember? Like
not that
at all on this show. Yeah.
No.
You know, maybe they interact at some point when Ulrich is in the 50s, between the 50s and the 80s. It's the only time I guess he could have interacted with him anytime, but I can't think of them interacting.
Yeah, no, not that I can recall.
Of course, you know, I believe this is the first we see Noah, is this interaction with Mikkel. But we do see Noah quite a bit in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is an introduction, Noah.
The man with the hat that has blue eyes, he's as tall as Peter. His name is Noah. Yep. All right. So then, you know, we followed along with Hannah and her father a little bit in the 80s. And earlier in the episode, just jumping over to Hannah, she, you know, she's talking to Ulrich. She's obviously like already obsessed with him. I think at the beginning of the episode, we see her like cutting out a picture of Ulrich and pasting it in.
Proper stalker shit.
Yes, she's very stalky. And, you know, she's jealous of Katarina. She sees Ulrich and Katarina holding hands.
Yeah, even when they're walking up, Ulrich is saying to Hannah how when you grow old, your heart dies. As you grow, your heart dies. And then as she's talking, he also mentions how everybody in Winden is stuck in their own pigeonholes.
Yes. So. I wasn't sure. So that I watched that part a couple times and it seemed very loaded in the dialogue. And I tried to jot down what he said, but it like kind of picked up mid.
He was talking about a movie or something that you'd just seen.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was a movie or a song. Cause he says,
She says, would you go see it with me again?
Oh, she did. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Cause all I wrote down was he says, you think they've become friends and bam, there's a bond between them. But they're stuck in their pigeonholed.
So. Yeah. So, and then, as Hannah's talking to Ulrich the whole time, Ulrich's staring at Katarina, and then goes over to her, obviously, and Hannah, the jealousy of Katarina back then. So they clearly show again, the no future on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they just keep telling you there's no future with Ulrich, that means.
I guess if you're looking at the present timeline, there is no future with Ulrich because he's going to go to the past and he's going to be stuck in the past as far as we know. I mean, he's never coming back to 2019 after like a day or two after what we're seeing in this. So
right.
He really doesn't have a future.
There's not much of a future in a jail cell, you know, except that hair. That hair is great.
Oh yeah.
Then it gets to, Katarina and Ulrich talking about losing their virginity to each other. And this is definitely meant to mean something when they go, she goes, she doesn't want AIDS. And then she says she doesn't want kids. And then, what the AIDS thing, I'm sure like the 80s.
Yeah. I think it was just the 80s.
I'm sure that was like, I thought too. I get that. That's not why I'm worried. But then they again goes, no kids, never. Never yes. No kids. And like Ulrich agrees, never no kids, never. So, and in the first episode ever of the first episode of the season, when they're getting ready for school, they look at each other and they go, who decided to have kids? That's like one of the first things mentioned at the breakfast as they're all like running.
Yeah, and it was like as a joke, so you kind of don't even pay attention to it. But
yeah, but I remember obviously watching the first episode, I remember taking note of that, knowing kind of how the family falls apart. So it's like constantly brought up how it's like, who decides? So, you know, who decided why they decide to have kids may end up being kind of a significant plot detail.
Mm. I thought maybe you were going with like the kids aren't really their kids.
That could be too. That's kind of what I mean. It could mean that. It could mean that, yeah, maybe Noah, these are also Noah's kids. Maybe every kid's Noah's kid. Noah's just sort of going through time.
And like they end up adopting the kids. They end up finding babies or I don't know. Yeah, that's
yeah, and then kind of having their own kids and the incest tree. It becomes the fact that maybe everybody in that world truly doesn't belong there because of something that happened.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing it could be is never no kids. If you say that as one sentence without any punctuation, never no kids means kids because you're saying never.
Yeah, I didn't write down the exact order, so I may be paraphrasing there.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely wrote that down. So I wrote down, that's like very on the nose that Katarina keeps saying no kids, and obviously they will have kids, but maybe it's more of a clue than I'm giving it credit for.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah. And then I did make note of Innes mentioning that she had a son who died shortly after birth. That came up. Yeah.
I mean, and we don't even know, you know, yes, we think that she had a son that died, but, you know, could it be that she thought the son died and Noah took the son and took him to a different time?
It could be.
You know, this, like some of these questions, like it's a lot to wrap up, but what if we see Innes having a baby, she's told the baby died, the baby gets taken to some future time, and maybe the baby becomes Mickle. So that would be like a crazy cycle where Mickle was her son the whole time.
Oh, could be.
I don't know. That would be pretty wild, but this show is nothing if not wild. So
mm-hmm.
And then so back to Hannah. We see Hannah with her father, who we don't really know anything about. Hannah's father, I don't think we really ever learn anything except that he kind of looks like Ron Jeremy.
And he runs like he's like going all over town like with his like textile company or whatever.
Yeah, like, he does all the like cleaning of the uniforms and towels and things like that for apparently for the school as well as for the hospital. I don't know why the school would need textiles cleaned, but whatever. And Hannah, you know, is feeling very unsure of herself because of Katarina and Ulrich and the way that they interact. And she's like looking down her shirt and like is disapproving of her body. She looks over. And she sees her future husband, Mickle, sitting there on the bench, reading that book, or opening the book at least. And because of the way, and I thought this is very interesting, because of the way that Ulrich makes her feel about herself, because of how upset she is, because of Mickle's father and the way Mickle's father makes her feel, she is inspired to go and talk to Mickle and ask her if she's pretty.
Mm-hmm. So
if Ulrich never treated Hannah the way that he did and did not get with Katarina, then Hannah never would have been drawn to Mickle in the first place. They never would have met.
And Jonas maybe would have been there. Maybe. There's some suspicious things about this first meeting, though.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, because she immediately after, like, first asking if he thinks she's pretty, he doesn't, like, look or whatever. He kind of just ignores her. And then she goes right into magic and talking about magic, which almost as like somebody gave her pre-existing knowledge about Mikkel being a fan of magic so that she would know to say that to get his interest.
Yeah, because we never see anything with Hannah that shows us that she likes magic at all.
Also, she kind of like shoehorned in her definition of magic by just being like, whatever I want to happen, happens.
Yeah,
and that's it's almost like she just wanted to mention magic to get his attention.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting.
His attention.
Because he asks her about Houdini, and you know, she has she has no idea who Houdini is. And if you
she
like
was magic, fed a line,
yeah, yes. She like knows nothing about magic. She just knows to say magic about this.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't even know like the definition of magic. It's like that. She's like, oh, I imagine, you know, like she like kind of has a very rough understanding of it. So I don't know. I just thought that was because right away that works on him. And he's always talking about magic. Mikkel is obsessed with magic, yeah. Like it seems so.
And her definition of magic is I close my eyes and want something to happen and it happens. Well, what does she want? She wants, a man to appreciate her, essentially. It's like,
and on a deeper level, she wants to punish Ulrich.
Yes. Oh, yes. And what better way to punish Ulrich than by being with
erasing
his son?
Him, yeah. Potentially erasing or trying to unravel his existence.
Yeah.
Which it does because that's why it goes through the portals and chases looking. Yeah.
So. Yeah, true. Keeping Mikkel there. I was like, well, I thought Houdini was, quite a bit further in the past, but I was like, well, maybe she doesn't know Houdini. You know, maybe this is one of those where it's like in Back to the Future when Marty orders a tab and the guy doesn't know what a tab is because tab hasn't been invented yet. And I was like, oh, maybe people don't know Houdini. Or like, I guess a better example would be when Marty mentions that Doc lives on JFK Boulevard and the family's like, who the hell's JFK or who the hell's John F. Kennedy? So when he said Houdini, I was like, oh, maybe it's because Houdini became big like in the early 90s. But I was like, that doesn't seem right. So I look up Harry Houdini. He died in 1926. So I don't think we're going to see Houdini, but we do go back to the 1920s in this show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe Houdini will play. I don't think he's going to play a role. He's from Hungary. He died in Detroit, actually, in 1926. That was what I quickly gleaned from his Wikipedia. So I think that's it for Mikkel from this episode. Eventually we get the reveal that Mikkel is Michael, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the present. The only other thing we see from the 80s is then Hannah accompanies her dad to the school to change out the textiles in the school for whatever reason. And she sees Ulrich and Katarina having consensual lovemaking sex. It does not look like there is anything going on that, you know, Hannah obviously reports that it's a rape, but it obviously was not. The thing that I noticed with this is that why is everybody in this town having sex in the school? There's a lot of that happens in this show.
Yeah, just a couple times so far.
By the end of this episode, it will be three times that we've seen.
Yeah, I don't think there's, I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, it's a weird town where so much happens in the school. The school that lets kids out because their teachers are sick when kids are getting abducted.
Right.
Yeah. So we see Ulrich is getting arrested by Egon, and there is more mention of Ulrich and Egon in the present, so we'll talk about that when we get to it. And Hannah has gotten some of her revenge, or whatever you want to call it, on Ulrich. So... anything else from the 80s before we move to the present?
Mm-mm. Nope. I think that's about it.
All right. So, these recaps are going to get even more complicated once we start putting the 50s in there. And I'm sure there's going to be episodes where we have three timelines going on at once.
At some point, we're just going to have to go with what the episode tells us and just jump back and forth through time, I think.
That's true. Yeah, we might have to just go with the narrative.
But
if you're listening along, let us know what you think is the easiest way to understand what's going on. We're just, I just want to make sure we can get our observations and things together
correct. Yep. So let's move to the present now.
I will say with the 80s, this is the most lost that we've gotten in this show because we are seeing essentially like flashbacks, and we even see, you know, like when we see Hannah in the 80s and we see her standing in the rain in the present. It just reminds me, I know you're not a big Lost fan, but it reminds me a lot of Lost where a lot of times the flashbacks will correspond with what we're seeing on the island in Lost. So, I would say the people who make this show definitely were influenced by Lost because there are a couple other things, especially when you get to season 5 and some of the time travel elements that get into Lost that are very similar to things in this show. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's a good show. Someday you'll watch it and you'll be like, oh, maybe. Yeah, you're right. But, you know, there's so much good TV now that, like, I mean, it's not that Lost is bad. It's just that, like, Lost was very intricate for a network ABC show. But it is way, Dark is on another level with the intricacies.
Yeah. I'll get to it one day.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're in the present timeline now. We're in the 2019 timeline. Yep. All right. So do we want to, let's stick with the Nielsen. So let's stick with Ulrich and Hannah and Katarina.
Yeah, just real quick, the radio announcement that came over when it was talking about the kids missing. I feel like mm-hmm. the radio guy is like a very underrated narrator. But he talks about there now being a 9-year-old missing boy. So that's now a 15, 12-year-old, and 9-year-old.
Oh, all multiples of three.
Exactly. So, and the last case happened 3 days ago. So just a couple threes that I noticed right off the bat. But
so do you think we need to be watching out for a 6-year-old who's going to be gone next?
Yeah, and then a 3-year-old, and then maybe the 0-year-old is Enos's kid who went missing.
Yep.
So.
Interesting. Yeah. So the missing, maybe we'll just go in order for this, because the missing child is Yasin, who mm-hmm. is Elizabeth's friend. So, yeah, let's just go in order with this, I guess, and we'll see.
Yep. How we're figuring this out as we go.
Yeah.
And I think this works for a show like this. We're organically working it out here. I think that as we go, going narrative wise is going to be the only way to do this.
Yeah.
Cause otherwise I won't be able to keep track with my notes and everything.
I know, I'm like scrolling up and down. I have mine written on a doc. So, So Yasin is missing. Charlotte is talking to Elizabeth, asking Elizabeth if she knows anything. Specifically, who was, you know, what does she know about this Noah guy that gave her the pocket watch that we saw in the last episode?
Yep.
Is just a red herring, and I think this is what you're about to say, is Elizabeth mentions that Noah is as tall as Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is all just kind of a red herring, although I do really pay attention to characters like Peter as this was going, and he mm-hmm. was looking very serious the whole time as he was appearing to listen still. Yes. So there seems to be some things that Noah is doing or involved with that Peter's not aware of.
And she mentions that Peter or that Noah has blue eyes. I didn't really notice blue eyes when we see Noah. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, but I just think color is so important in the show. It's interesting that it's blue eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's blue or brown basically for every character. And then there's Claudia who has a blue and brown eye.
Oh, interesting. I did not realize that. We'll get that later on. And this is when Charlotte says, you know, every detail is important, which I feel like could be the tagline of this podcast, basically, mm-hmm. or of the show. Peter says that he was at work till 11. I do think that this is where you thought that he was, he said 11. I think in mm-hmm. the episode before he said 10. So he has inconsistencies in his story.
Yep.
So, all right. Then we see the stranger. And the stranger with his circle pictures. He is so dramatic, is what I wrote down. And then I was like, well, I guess this is how Jonas would act in the future. I mean, Jonas is kind of like an emo kid. So maybe it makes sense that the stranger is so dramatic with this stuff.
Yeah. And then is this where he ends up asking Regina to deliver the package to Jonas?
It's a little bit later. But yes, he does end up asking Regina to deliver the package.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting. I forgot. You know, and once again, Regina not knowing the role she's playing, mm-hmm. Just playing a role, but for the stranger to know that, ask Regina and know that she would do it is kind of interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is like, you would think that Regina would be a little bit weirded out that she's being asked to deliver a package to her son's, you know, quote unquote, best friend, mm-hmm. and wouldn't mention that, like, hey, this creepy guy who's been staying in my hotel gave me this to give to you. Like, she's not like Jonas is some stranger to her. Like, no mm-hmm. pun intended. Like, she knows who Jonas is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that obviously, the stranger knows that she knows who Jonas is.
Yep.
The stranger knows that she will do it. So, mm-hmm. Yes. But before we get to that, we do see Bartos, and he's getting phone calls. He has a second phone. We never really saw where he got the second phone from, but is it just that he found it with the stash of things?
Yeah, it was in the stash.
Oh, okay. Yep. So he gets the call from Noah. Mm-hmm. And he's going to end up going to meet with Noah. I'm curious if in that phone call from Noah told him to bring Jonas, because in the next scene, we see Jonas and Bartos bonding over a bong and some PlayStation. It was PlayStation, mm-hmm. correct?
PlayStation 4, yes.
PlayStation 4. Do you know what game they were playing?
I don't believe it was a real game. Looked like one of those fake games that they put in a movie.
Oh, okay.
They don't want to pay for actual license. But maybe it was a game.
It was interesting, you know, with symmetry, we see them sitting right next to each other, very similarly on the couch. You could split the screen in half and reflecting. And then when they're playing the video game, their screen is split the other direction. It's split horizontally.
Yeah, and Bartos is asking for Jonas to cover him as he goes down a corridor, and he doesn't. And he tells him to shoot, Jonas to shoot, and he doesn't shoot. So just maybe, I don't know, maybe some clues for some things to come.
I think they are begging us to think that Bartos and Jonas are going to be rivals in the future.
Yeah, exactly. So, which makes me think they won't. You know, but
I think they will. So that will be something we can track as season three comes. I think we are setting up for this grand battle of like light versus dark, Bartos versus Jonas, or Bartos versus Adam, or
yeah.
Jonas.
I do think that maybe one thing that Noah said on the phone to Bartos was to invite Jonas, but it was so to show Noah that he couldn't rely on Jonas because he knew Jonas wouldn't come, but he wanted to make sure Noah would know that early on in his life. Right. Yes. Yeah. So Noah told Bartos to ask Jonas, knowing that Jonas wasn't going to come, but then Bartos would have the knowledge that Jonas wasn't there for him.
I like that. That makes sense.
So,
let's see, scrolling in my notes, Ulrich and Hannah, we see Ulrich and Hannah, and is this after Hannah brings, okay. Oh, so what we see is Hannah going to the Nielsen house with something cooked for them. Yeah. What do you think she cooked for them?
It looked like a big lasagna. It was pouring rain at the time.
Yes.
Also when she showed up. So, you know, just,
I assumed
just
it was lasagna always, as well. I don't know what else you would cook in that situation.
Yeah, and Katarina didn't look too excited to see her.
Yeah, does Katarina know that? I mean, she knows obviously that Ulrich is having an affair. Do you think she knows it's Hannah?
I think that there's always been kind of a weird pride tension between them, where they've like liked each other because Hannah's always been nice to Ulrich and liked Ulrich, and like she doesn't want to be the jealous wife that's like stay away. Mm-hmm. But also, it's like, why are you so nice to my husband all the time? It's probably one of those types of tensions, I would think. And yeah, it's like, but you can tell like Katarina's not excited to see her when she first shows up, then you know, says she can come in when they're sitting down inside. Right away, Martha leaves, so it's just Katarina and her, and she's asking Katarina where how Magnus and Marta are doing. Katarina goes, I don't know, and then asks where Ulrich is. She says Ulrich's out in the shower. Ulrich's in the shower. That's what her answer is, in the shower. He then, like, 2 seconds later, walks in his jacket.
Oh, interesting. See, okay, this was the point where I came up with my palindrome name theory. So I, like, was not paying attention to what they were talking about because I was thinking about my name.
I watched it again today, and she says, where's Ulrich right now? She goes, in the shower. Then he walks in his jacket.
Maybe she meant in the rain shower.
So he may have been in the shower, actually, because when he comes in, he says, I have to go to the police station. So maybe he was getting ready and when he got. So it's probably not anything weird, actually, because I don't know what that would really mean. I just worked that out because then he says, I have to go to the police station, where Hannah is like, oh, can I get a ride? Yeah. Which right away, Katarina is like, yeah, he'll give you a ride. But she's glaring the whole time. Then
how did she get there in the first place? So she walked.
She said she biked. She biked.
Okay.
So I guess she leaves her bike there.
And she also biked with a lasagna.
I guess, you know,
this seems like terrible planning in a rainstorm. Like what are you doing, Hannah?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Hannah has her eyes on Ulrich and only Ulrich. So,
maybe Ulrich is then, showered with affection. Maybe that was what that stands for.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, but then, then she does the classic when you're cheating on, goes in for the hug and then buries her face into Hannah's hair, takes a big, big whiff, and then quickly very, very quickly and purposely glares at Ulrich. Ulrich the whole time looking.
So Katarina smelled Hannah, and you think that's when she puts it together?
100% confirmed.
Okay, yes.
Affair confirmed. If you go back and watch the scene, it is like, it is, if the closed captioning could say, Katarina knows now. Like, so Katarina is the best detective in the family so far.
Interesting. So I like that. Yeah, so see, this was my fault because I started being like, oh, all the kids have M names. And then I was like watching it and pausing it, but like trying to write down this theory.
Yeah.
I'm glad
And then they get in the car and they're driving. And basically, Ulrich asks Hannah not to call. Hannah says she's more than an affair. That was her response. And then Hannah says she won't just let him go.
Yeah, he says, leave me alone. And then he says, get lost. And then we get a Lost-esque flashback to young Ulrich and young Hannah. So, yes.
Yep.
It is a clue that everybody should watch Lost if they like this show.
maybe.
Yes. All right. So then we spend some time in the 80s. We come back. We have Ulrich and Charlotte talking in the police station. Some good stuff in this scene. We get some great stuff where Ulrich talks about how the reason why he became a cop is because the cops who handled his brother disappearing did it so poorly.
33 years ago.
So he's obviously talking about Egon. We also see him getting arrested by Egon. So that probably has something to do with him becoming a cop. He refers to Egon as like a drunken pig and says he doesn't want to become a drunken pig like the cop who handled Mads's disappearance. And then Charlotte brings up the 33-year cycle, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. She talks about the lunar solar cycle. The Big Bang once again is mentioned. So the second mention of the Big Bang in this episode. And Charlotte talks about her grandfather was very interested in the 33-year cycle. Of course, at the time, we do not know who Charlotte's grandfather is. Now we know her grandfather is, well, her adopted grandfather is H.G. Tannhaus.
Yeah, he's obsessed with the Big Bang, the Big Crunch, which I don't know what the Big Crunch is.
No, I don't
either. And then Nietzsche's Eternal Recurrence, which is the snake eating its own tail.
Which is an
eternal cycle of the past always repeating, or past becoming the present, becoming the future, becoming the past. But Nietzsche's Eternal Recurrence is brought up a lot in this show.
Oh, I'll have to look that up on Wikipedia. I think it's interesting that she refers to H.G. as her grandfather, because we know that he's not actually her grandfather. We don't quite know exactly how he ended up adopting her, I don't think. But we do know that her father is Noah.
Yep.
And basically, if H.G. is essentially her, you know, if Noah is like the one of the like key travelers, and, you know, symbolically H.G. is her grandfather, so H.G. is the father, you know, we've talked about him being like the father of time, basically. Mm-hmm. So if he's no, you know, so the stand-in of him being her grandfather makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, I agree.
HG, big one to watch.
Charlotte feels like this has all happened before and brings up deja vu.
Yep. And then we cut to Jonas sitting on a bench. I'm trying to figure out where he was sitting because it looks to me like this is where Ulrich attacks Tronte in the 50s.
Oh, I didn't.
It looked like the same because there's that house in the background, and I'm not
Isn't
sure.
Isn't that
house.
Where Mads is, or Michael's Mads is buried?
It's where Michael's buried. That's where he's watching Michael. Him. Yeah, so he's sitting. Oh, okay. He's sitting like, you know, like 20 feet away from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
But behind him is a big house, and I'm not sure if that's the Nielsen house or if that's the Cronwell. I mean, maybe it's somebody's house, but I'm pretty sure it is that when we see Tronte get attacked, which is happening in, I don't know, 2-3 episodes. I'm pretty sure that's where it happens, is that same area where Jonas was sitting.
So, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll have to pay attention for that. The stranger approaches. Of course, we have Jonas sitting next to himself. We have green coat versus yellow coat. We have another area where there's a reflection. If you split the screen in half, you would have Jonas and the stranger, who are the same person, talking to each other. They're talking to reflections of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, the stranger brings up Jonas's father. He tells him that he looks like him, which is interesting. I don't think they really look alike, but
yeah, I don't either. And he doesn't say, he doesn't want to reveal at this point to Jonas that he is Jonas.
Right. No,
you know, or anything like that. Also, yeah, talks about how he only understood later how he saved his life. So maybe he's referring to Michael's suicide and how that ends up. I don't know what he's referring to there. Do you have any ideas?
No, I mean, it could be that, you know, that Michael killed himself, Michael ended up going back in time. You know, it set the whole thing in motion. We do see the episode that's going to happen later in season 2 where Jonas goes and is with his father the day before he commits suicide. So maybe it has something to do with that, but I am not quite sure how how Michael saved his life. Just yet.
Yeah, and then he talks about how life's a labyrinth, and some people just wander around looking for a way out, and it only leads them deeper and deeper in. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if he's talking to himself, saying, "This is what you're heading for."
Yep.
And yeah, it's like he also mentions how death is incomprehensible, but you can make peace with it. So I think it's almost he's talking to his younger self, like, you have to remove yourself from existence or remove us from existence. And I can't do it. You have to do it. But I know you won't do it because you don't. That's why I'm here. But you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Like, he himself was in the labyrinth. Do you think he got this labyrinth metaphor from looking at the picture of a labyrinth on the wall? Is that why he just stares at that picture for so long?
Yeah, I don't know. He's really into labyrinths, though. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, this whole show is a maze. And
he's just like really setting in, you know, to Jonas. He's like, question everything you do. If it's the right thing, if you should be doing it, everything you do from this day forward, like, it's just, you have to make sure you're making the right decision. AKA don't kiss Martha.
Except he's doing the same thing he's always done, because Jonas always talks to the future version of himself, and the future version of himself knows this, so Jonas will always go and do this.
Nothing can be changed, but he's convinced he can change everything. It's in the conversations with the stranger and HG all the time. HG mentions it to him, says nothing can be changed. But it's like Jonas's like main goal in life is to change the unchangeable.
Right. And it's the snake eating its own tail once again.
Yep.
All right. So then after we see that scene with Jonas, going back to, we have a lot of time in the 80s, so I have to scroll through my notes a little bit. Then we get the very important scene with Martha giving the monologue in the play. She's talking about how things are a circle, how they are all tied together, how fate ties things together. She even brings up a red thread tied into a knot. We saw Jonas receive from somebody, I'm assuming from the stranger, in the last episode.
And Jonas looks at it when he's ignoring the call from Martha, too. It has something to do with love, I think.
The color red?
The red loop has something to do with, like, the loop of love or something.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because, it is, like, it's a knot, right? They're all twisted into a knot, love triangle. And everything is very red in this episode, or in this scene, I mean. You know, even the lighting on the stage, like Martha looks very red.
Yeah. Also,
Martha or Francisca, because she looks so red.
Yeah. Also, in Martha's play, she talks about how all faiths are tied together by a thread, red like blood, and that cleaves together all our deeds. One cannot unravel the knots, but they can be severed. And then it shows Jonas in the crowd watching. She's looking at Jonas and it says, only severed by the sharpest of blades, while staring at Jonas.
It will take the sharpest of blades to sever these circles than these loops that we have.
So what's a sharper blade than removing yourself from existence?
I could definitely see that. And everything, you know, I just think this was like such an important scene. We're just having like a random play and she's the only one in the play. We have seen some tree imagery in this show as well. Obviously the trees by the caves, but behind Martha, there's trees on the set. The box where Innes keeps the letter has a tree on it. I'm sure there are more trees in this show, family trees too. So, another motif that we're seeing, and I'm not sure if it has higher significance than just having trees around, tree of life and things like that.
Yeah.
So then Jonas confronts her backstage in the locker room. This is the third time that we are seeing characters having romantic relations, I guess you could call it. I don't know. We don't know if we see them have sex. I don't think they have sex. I think they just make out.
Yeah, they just make out, but he tells her the truth about having a mental breakdown.
Yep. And he says, if my father hadn't, right before they make out. So if Martha's brother, Jonas's father, had not killed himself, then Jonas wouldn't have had the breakdown. They would have been together and she wouldn't have been with Bartos. So
no.
It is all, things are getting tied together. And this happened right around the time when we also had a romantic relationship between an aunt and nephew on another show as well. So it is a theme of this time that we had we had that. I hope that this aunt and nephew relationship turns out better than the other one that we saw on TV.
Not sure.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the end of this show is better than that show, at least.
Hopefully.
Yes. That is a low bar to clear. All right. So then we get to Noah and Bartow's meeting. I'm curious who Noah's driver is, because he's in the back of like a limo and he just has some random guy driving him around.
Mm-hmm.
Kids.
Uber Black.
Yes. Yes. And I don't think there was much more between this except just to be like, hey, look, here's Noah again. He's the exact same age as you saw him in the 80s. So there's something weird going on with this guy.
Yep. Yeah. There. I don't think there was too much more than I think that they were just kind of establishing Noah has his hands in a lot of pots here. Keep your eye on Noah.
Yeah. I think early on they want you to think Noah is like the big bad. He's this either ageless guy or Time Lord. We're not sure which.
So. Yep.
And then we see Katarina and Ulrich. Katarina's asking Ulrich if he's cheating. I thought he was going to fess up. Even the first time and on the rewatch, I always thought he was going to fess up, and he keeps saying no.
Yeah, he asked the classic non-denial question of where did you get that idea? Which is like, might as well say yes, you cheated. But anytime as a former huge liar, I can tell you, anytime someone approaches me with something I've lied about, and I ask, who told you that idea or who gave you that idea? I'm trying to get some information to know how I can deny.
Right.
And continue to lie. And he then says, which I just don't think, like, I think this is said on purpose. He says, he'd never do that. He uses the word never. Like, so maybe he's like just trying to really yeah. to lie, but maybe it's just like, well, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of it, where did you get that idea? When did you get that idea? Could be the other side of that coin. So we've seen where is Mikkel, when is Mikkel?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
And then we see Jonas once again. And this is the big montage where we put those pieces together because Jonas opens the package from the stranger that Regina for some reason delivered. And it has that futuristic flashlight in it, which we haven't seen anybody with like lighting the way, like we pointed out a couple episodes ago in a while. But this is, I feel like at the time I was like, oh, what is this crazy thing that he has? It's like machine, but it really is just like a touch lamp flashlight.
Yeah, it's just a cool prop.
Yeah, it is neat. And then an old time meter, I think, is that like a new, like a whatever tracks
so
like
it's nuclear a radiation? Geiger counter.
Or Geiger counter, yes.
Yeah, so it tracks radiation. So it's trying to lead him towards, I think, the bevy of, yeah.
Yeah, this is the kit that Jonas will use to get into the caves to start time traveling. And of course, it includes the letter. And the letter, he starts reading it. And if you've not yet figured it out, you are starting to figure it out, and you really figure it out when you see the split screen.
Yeah.
Mikkel is Mikkel. Mikkel is Mikkel.
Yeah, and that's the same letter that Enis is opening in the first episode, or so we're led to believe.
Yeah, and I believe this is an older, like this is it's obviously a more weathered version of this letter, and I think that we see at some point Enis gives the stranger the letter. I think it might be when he travels back. When Jonas travels back to the day before Mikkel kills himself, or
yeah, and I,
no, I
believe
guess it couldn't be then, but
yeah, and I believe somewhere in this episode, Enis mentions that any secret is safe with her to Mikkel or something to that effect.
Oh, I think
like
so.
You can all, yeah. Yeah, everything you're, like be, when she's trying to find out about Mikkel's parents and Mikkel's not talking, and she's like, "That's okay, you don't have to talk about anything you don't want to, but any information that you give me is safe with me. You can always know that." So that's why Mikkel knew he could write, / Mikkel knew he could write his suicide note for Jonas to Enis, because he knew that Enis would get it back to him to get to Regina to get to Jonas.
Mm.
Or get to future Jonas to give to Regina to give to past Jonas.
Yeah. And yeah, I just like, can't remember when he actually gets the letter.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I think anytime we have trouble remembering something, it means we'll remember it when we come back to it.
Yeah, it does happen. I think it happens in season two at some point.
Yeah, it happens in season two, I'm pretty sure.
The stranger gets, because this letter, I think this, you know, if you like dated the paper on this letter.
Lot happens to this letter. I mean, right. Jonas tries to burn it at one point, you know, kind of has his Ulrich moment where he's like, I changed it. But he didn't, you know, yeah. Like.
Because he burns this version of the letter, right? He doesn't
burn
the older version of the letter.
Right.
And, yeah. And I mean, if you look at this, it's obviously like a very weathered letter. And yeah, the letter is only, you know, you know, it's the one that Ennis has is only 6 months old. So
right, but I think it's the same letter. It's just been traveling.
Right, it's been traveling for like, you know, years or whatever.
Yeah, because the envelope's open already, which that opens it up for somebody to replace the letter.
Well, what would they replace the letter
with? I don't know. I don't know. You never know, because the letter didn't look weathered compared to the envelope.
I thought it did. I mean, that, I'd be interested if somebody changed it. I just hope it wasn't that, like, oh, they changed
maybe it. Jonas changed. Maybe the stranger changed it, thinking, like, it didn't quite say, you know, what it needed to, and he, who knows?
It wasn't exposition-y enough. It didn't include a split screen.
Yeah, it didn't end with Mikkel / Michael. It only ended with Mikkel, and he wanted to, I don't know.
He's like, I'm an idiot. I need this written out way more clearly than my father wrote out.
Exactly. And maybe that ends up screwing things up even more.
Yeah.
Who knows?
One thing, well, I guess we'll just close out the episode and then I'll bring up my question. So then I always thought the end of the episode was always Mikkel and Michael, but nope, it is not. Once again, we end the episode with HG. He is now being visited by the stranger. I don't know if we know what time this is. I think it's the 80s probably that he's visiting HG.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on how old he is.
Yeah.
And, that's it. He says, I want to talk to you about time.
Yep.
This is the stranger is going to give HG some valuable information that he needs to make his time machine possible, which is what the stranger is using to travel through time in the first place.
And it was 3 minutes to midnight.
I did notice the clock is like very, yeah, the clock is like very, very prominent.
So maybe he only had 3 minutes to talk or something. I don't know, but yeah. It was 11:57.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I noticed that as well. There are, you know, I try to pay attention to the time whenever they show it. They show Jonas's the time on
7:36.
Yeah, or the time on his clock radio. I never know if that's important or not, but I try.
It might not be. And you know, one of the other things is that they don't overdo it. Like Ulrich missed 22 calls from Hannah at the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they could have really been like obnoxious and been like 33 missed calls. Like it's like they don't, it's not like every single number that shows up is a multiple of 3 or something like that.
But
so,
22 is a palindrome.
It is a palindrome for Hannah. So maybe yes. Hannah only does palindromes. But.
And 11, the number of days that, or the time that Peter said that he was at the office until is also a palindrome. So 11, 22, 33.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of numbers. This is the problem with tracking this stuff. Then you just start seeing it everywhere and you turn into like the stranger in front of his board of everything going on. And you're just like, oh, that, what is that a clue to? So,
yeah.
How did Jonas break his phone? Jonas's screen is all cracked. And I don't,
he's got, I mean, everybody's screen has one or two cracks in it.
Yeah. His screen is like really messed up. He should get a new phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if it broke the day that they were, the night that Mikkel disappeared and he fell over.
He fell a lot.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, yeah, the next episode, what is the name of the next episode? Do you know?
I don't have it on me right now.
Dark Truth. I'm looking it up on the Dark Wiki. Looking up Dark Truth is not good because it pulls up. There's apparently a show or a movie from 2012 called Dark Truth.
Hmm.
A Dark Truth.
I just watched the new Kevin James movie this morning where he plays a Nazi, and it's basically Home Alone, but with a little girl in the woods. Joel McHale plays the father.
Interesting.
It's called Becky.
Becky, yes. I heard that it's very dramatic. So, ooh.
Yeah.
So the next episode... it's called Sigmundus Cretus Est, which Sigmundus obviously is very important in this show. We learn more about mm-hmm. them. So that is Sigmundus. We're going to learn more about Sigmundus in the next episode of Dark. That is episode 6. So, well, I guess we won't learn more about Sigmundus, but I believe it's named that because that's what we see written on the cave door.
Yep.
Yeah. So...
I think it's the end is the beginning and the beginning is the end or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what Sigmundus, but they will tell us, I'm sure.
Yep.
So, all right. Anything else that we covered everything in this episode, I feel like.
Yep.
This was the last episode didn't have as much narratively. This one really moved the ball forward on a lot of things.
Absolutely.
And we didn't even get like half the characters. We didn't get any Claudia. We didn't get any Magnus, no Francisca, barely got Elizabeth. So, didn't get much Peter, didn't get Waller at all. Unless Waller was that patient who was walking in the 80s in the hospital with the eye patch.
Yeah, could be.
So, all right. Well, now we need to give out our MVP for the episode. So I will let you go first.
So I will give the MVP. MVPs don't always have to be heroes.
Nope.
The MVP here, I think, is Hannah.
I was actually thinking Hannah as well.
You know, the lie from hell that, like, it's like the worst one so far in the show, it seems like. Like making up the rape and how much, like, how many issues that causes for so many people moving forward. Like, and Regina being like, you know, Regina Tiedemann being the innocent bystander, just like kind of like how Egon Tiedemann was the innocent bystander of being poisoned by future Ulrich with all the information of, like, I mean, the Tiedemanns seem so far to be the innocent bystanders in some ways.
So is Regina, that the feature that holds for Bartos then?
I think so. And Bartos has been painted as, like, really a villain, and we see how he's treated even by his friends later on in, like, season two as, like, a coward and as, like, why didn't you tell us what you knew? Like, and he's ostracized, and then, yeah, we see a lot of different. So I think that, you know, it's even you said earlier in the episode, you think Bartos represents all the dark and the bad aspects. I think that's what, that's the result of him having partial information, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, maybe so. It's the other way. Maybe Jonas is actually the villain and Bartos is the hero.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
I do think we're just leading up to, and this is similar to Lost, where, like, it turns out to be a, like, a battle between two people that, like, it all culminates in this battle between two people. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing between Bartos and Jonas.
I think at one point Egon even refers to Claudia as the White Devil.
So, oh yeah. That's what she's known as when Claudia has the, when Claudia has the gray hair, and he has no idea that's his daughter.
That kind of is an oxymoron to be the white light and the devil. It kind of works in the opposite. They kind of work against each other.
Well, and meanwhile, Noah is the dark priest.
Yeah.
So white devil and the dark god, dark religious figure, dark priest. So,
yeah. So who knows? But yeah, I'll give the MVP to Hannah to answer your question.
All right. Let's see. So my MVP for this, I mean, Hannah is a good one because she kind of moves a lot of things forward, just as being like a key puzzle piece. I think Ulrich also is a very key puzzle piece. He doesn't make great decisions in this episode. I'll give it to Mikkel. Because this is the Mikkel and Michael connection is, you know, that is what, like, really sold me on this show, where I was like, holy crap, I have to go back and rewatch all this stuff. How could I have not realized that Mikkel was Michael? So I think Mikkel deserves an MVP point for that. So
yeah, fair enough.
Mikkel and Jonas, father and son, friend and friend, they both lead the pack with two MVP points each. Ulrich, Tronte, Alexander, Egon, Elizabeth, and Hannah all have one. So
nice.
Yes. It will be interesting to see who ends up with the most. Who do you think is going to have the most MVP points by the time we get to season three?
I mean, I think that it's got to be either Ulrich or Jonas, I would think.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be Jonas. I don't think Ulrich is going to end up with that many because, like, I mean, Ulrich,
I guess
is,
he gets taken out of action.
Right. Well, yeah, he gets stuck in jail for 30 years. I mean, Claudia is going to get a bunch in season two, I would imagine.
Egon's not going to get many, unfortunately.
No, I don't think so.
He deserves, like, a lot, but he's just, it's not in the right. It's like, he's like on the, he's on the wrong team. He's putting up a bunch of these numbers, but it's like, it's not going towards anything. His team's not even making the tournament.
It's so weird it's like, to think about Egon and Hannah is going to end up being a couple. Like, I never, and, you know, before that happened, I never would have thought of Egon and Hannah being together.
The same she'll do to fuck over Ulrich.
Yeah, it's, seriously.
Like, it's just an obsession with how can I ruin Ulrich's life, even if it ruins my life.
I mean, Hannah is the double palindrome. Hannah is the only double palindrome name in this show. So is it like, is this whole thing because is Hannah really the white devil?
Yeah, who knows? But we could talk about the show all day.
Yeah. It's fun to see what kind of things we pick up, because like this is, I did not think of any of this stuff when I first watched it and second watched it. And so this is a great way to, you know, as we say in the name of the podcast, digesting dark. So all right, so that is going to wrap up Truths. I guess it's interesting this episode is also called, it's not just Truth, it's Truths. So there are multiple truths as well as lots of lies in this episode.
Yeah.
So, and every detail, every little detail is important, as we like to say. All right, so if you are listening along with us, make sure you stay subscribed. I guess we should have said that at the beginning, because we are dropping episodes pretty regularly as we lead up to season 3, which comes out 3 weeks from today, 3 weeks from when we are recording this. Season 3 will all be out on Netflix. At this point, 3 weeks from right now, somebody could have watched all of season 3.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Netflix, you know, is releasing on a Saturday instead of a Friday. They usually do that, but they're letting Dark do their own thing here.
Well, yeah, and the you know, June 27th is the apocalypse. Hopefully, yep. It's not actually the apocalypse.
Yeah, hopefully we get to watch it.
Exactly. So, all right, so you can follow both of us if you have things you want to tell us. We don't have an email address for this podcast, but we are welcoming feedback and questions on Twitter. I am at Brooks ZA.
And I'm at Aaron J-A-Y Brooks.
Yes. So let us know if you are along with the ride, if we're helping you break down some things. I'm sure there are things we didn't notice. If you have thoughts on mirroring and palindromes, the number 3, the colors, you know. Oh, also there was a red light behind Bartos when he's meeting with Noah. So notice that. So lots of fun things going on Dark. Super intricate. We'll be back very soon with our next episode, all about Sigmundus.
Yep, looking forward to it. This was definitely, I think, the craziest, like, most mind-bending episode. And I'm realizing, you know, that as this show gets crazier, it gets crazier to talk about.
Yes, gets harder to talk about. We have to like adjust how we're talking about it. We can't just go straight down the line of families anymore.
Yep, but yeah, I'm looking forward to next episode, and yeah, I hope you're enjoying. We appreciate all the feedback. I've gotten a few people who've reached out to me, so I've been trying to answer some questions with them, and enjoy. Yeah, any feedback, just get at us.
Yeah, enjoy it. Sigmundus Cretus Est. And we will be back to talk about that very soon on Digesting Dark. Thanks for joining us today.
See ya.